And now we're going to remember Rodney Dangerfield. The comic and actor died yesterday at the age of 82. Dangerfield created his persona around his signature line.
One of my problems, you know, I don't get no respect. No respect at all. Every time I get in an elevator, the operator says the same thing to me. Basement? I mean, no respect. The other day, I was standing in front of a big apartment house. The doorman asked me to get him a cab. Same thing with my friends, no respect. My friends tell me when I call them on a phone, I should use a certain signal. I should let it ring twice, hang up, and don't call back.
Although Dangerfield never stopped complaining on stage that he got no respect, he was actually revered by many younger comics, not only for his stand-up comedy, but for his performances in such movies as Caddyshack, Back to School, and Natural Born Killers. Jim Carrey wrote the introduction for Dangerfield's book, It's Not Easy Being Me, which was published a few months ago. I spoke with Dangerfield in July, and his voice sounded weak, which wasn't surprising considering the health problems he'd faced in the past 4 years, including heart bypass surgery, a heart attack, and surgery to bypass clogged arteries in his brain. Nevertheless, Dangerfield told me he hoped to perform again. Here's an excerpt of our interview. Rodney Dangerfield, welcome to Fresh Air. Now, I got to ask you, you know, your comedy is built around your most famous line, I don't get no respect. And you've said that The Godfather inspired you to come up with it. How did it come to you? Did you think of it the first time you saw The Godfather movie? Like, how did
Maybe
it actually...
Maybe not the first time, but I heard the word respect. When The Godfather came out, all you hear was, if she's with me, you show her respect. I want respect. I'm with him. Okay, don't always respect, go out of your mind, you know, with respect. So I wrote a joke about respect, and see what the reaction would be. This is the first joke I wrote. I was working in a place called Upstairs at the Duplex in Greenwich Village. And I told the joke, I said, the first time I said, trouble me, I don't get no respect. I said, when I was a kid, they played hide and seek. They wouldn't even look for me, you know? And that was the first joke I wrote. And and the audience came over to me afterwards and said, hey, me too, Roddy, no respect. Me too, Roddy, no respect. And all of a sudden I found an image, you know? And it's been good for me.
Now, you started doing the respect stuff when you came back to show business
right.
At around the age of 40. You had left show business for around 12 years. You had a family. You needed to make money to support your family. And you went into the aluminum siding business for a while.
Right.
What was your act like the first time around?
When I quit show business, give you an idea how well I was doing at the time I quit. I was the only one who knew I quit.
So what were the first jokes you remember telling on stage?
When I was 17 years old, I was booked by an agent named Jack Miller, who packed about 10 people in his car in New York, and we all drove out to Newark. The first joke I told out there, and it still got a laugh at me, you know? I said, look in the audience tonight, the women look like a beautiful bed of roses. Of course there's a weed here and there, you know. So that was the joke I told when I was 17.
Now, when you started performing, you didn't use the name Rodney Dangerfield. That was a name...
My legal name is Jack Roy, R-O-Y.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started performing, and that was the name I used the first time in my career. When I came back the second time, then I became Rodney Dangerfield. And with a name like that, if you don't hit, you're an idiot, you know?
Now, you were born with the last name of Roy, but that Roy was actually your father's stage name. His last
That's
name,
right.
His birth name was Cohen.
His first name was Phil, Philip.
Mm-hmm.
Philip Cohen is his legal name. But he became Roy and Arthur. Arthur was my uncle, and they did a vaudeville act, you know, comedy vaudeville act.
What was the
what
act
else?
Like?
They would break plates. They would throw plates into the theater like a boomerang, and it would swing over to people's heads and come back to the stage. It was quite a feat to do it, but they did that mostly in their act. That was part of it, you know. And other than that, there was some little juggling and humor, whatever went on there, you know.
Now, I know you weren't close to your father, and he really didn't even live with the family when you were growing up, but I'm wondering if you went to see him much, if you saw his act much.
I never saw his act. I was too young, but I used to go to see him twice a year. He lived in New York, a half hour from Kew Gardens, where we lived. And I'd take a subway in, 10 years old, 12 years old, whatever it was, and I'd meet him for an hour. Then he'd walk me back to the subway, and I'd go home. My father saw me 2 hours a year. That's what it amounted to.
So did it make you want to be in show business?
Who knows? I don't know. You know, show me some love. Show me some. Let me hear the laughs, the applause. I'll take love any way I can get it, you know? And I guess to get love, if you're in show business, to try and make some money, but there's no money in it when you start, so it's just for, because you like to do it, I guess.
It seems like you had a really rough childhood. You never got to see your father, but 2 hours a year you got to see him. You didn't really like your mother. She sounds like she was a really difficult woman.
Yeah.
Was there anything that was fun or funny in your childhood? Were there...
Nothing funny at all.
Seriously? So you think you had an unhappy childhood all the time?
Extremely. I never went to a ball game. No one took me anywhere. Being brought up with no father and a mother who was extremely selfish. Right. She never made me breakfast my entire life. Always got up 11 o'clock. But before I'd go to school, I didn't mind the newsstand for an hour and a half, that I always had the same breakfast. Orangeade, donut, and coffee. That was a home-cooked meal to me.
When you decided to get back into show business, one of the ways you did it was by opening up your own club.
Well, I'll tell you, the club was opened way after I was in show business. I was already doing okay when I opened the club,
mm-hmm.
You know. I opened the club one big reason was I had two small kids at home, you know, about 4 and 8, and I couldn't leave town and leave them alone. I had a domestic situation that was difficult, you know. So I decided to open a nightclub and I can be in New York or work in New York only, and my kids won't be alone, you know.
You helped a lot of comics get started at your club.
Yeah.
You want to name some of them?
Yeah, well, Jim Carrey. I met Jim, though. He worked the club, too, but I met him. I was working in Toronto. They told me to catch this fellow. I think he's pretty good. And I caught him. He was doing impressions, and he was great, great. So I asked him to work with me, and the first job we went to was Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, which was a big deal for him, he told me, you know what I mean? And after that, he opened for me for 2 years on the road. So I was directly responsible to help him get in the States and everything else. Sam Kinison is one of my proteges, or was. He's a genius, Sam Kinison was. You know, he's too much, and I thought he was great, and I put him on my show twice he was on. And Jerry...
Seinfeld?
Yeah, Jerry Seinfeld. He was on the show, too. And a lot of other, Bob Saget, Louis Anderson, Rita Rudner.
Can you talk a little bit about how you put together your act? Do jokes just come to you whole, or do you have to, like, work at them and refine them?
Well, sometimes you hit one right off the bat. It's funny, boom, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you contrive. You got to sit and write one. Like, I wrote a joke, you know, the other day. It was in the book, I think, you know. I'm getting old. I had an accident. I was arrested for hit and walk.
Did your mother ever see you perform? Did she live to see you become very successful?
No. My father did. In fact, I flew him up here from Florida to come to the club and spend a night or two in the apartment with me. So he flew up there. He saw my whatever success I had at the time.
Did your relationship change when he saw how successful you were?
No, I don't think that had nothing to do with it. Our relationship changed because I became older, and I forgave him for everything. He cried to me, and he said, "Will you forgive me?" He meant for never seeing me, never, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
2 hours a year, I told him. And knowing my mother, he couldn't have been happy with her, you know. I like my father better as a person.
You write in your book that your father's funeral was one of the loneliest moments of your life.
Yeah, right.
And that you were the only one
there.
Alone,
you know?
Yeah, you were the only one at the funeral.
And as they were lowering his body into the ground, one of the workers comes over to me and says, "Hey, Rodney, can I have your autograph?" What timing, you know?
Having built so much of your career on this don't get no respect image, do you realize how appreciated you are now in comedy? Do you have a sense of that?
Yeah, I in my own head, though, you see, I can never be a big shot. And if I check in a hotel and a bellhop grabs my bag, I feel like I should be taking the bag, you know? But I appreciate the fact that I'm popular with people. It's a very nice feeling rather than be unpopular. So I'm happy about the way things went.
Rodney Dangerfield recorded in July. He died yesterday at the age of 82 of complications after heart valve replacement surgery.